Ask three questions, and the team have already helped us answer so much of what I want to ask, but what happened? What happened that day? What happened because, what happened on Easter, that first Easter? And then I want to ask a second question, and what's happening? And then I want to ask a third question, what's going to happen? So go with me for a few moments this morning as we look at these three questions. What happened? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 through 9. He says, I passed on to you what was most important. How many know there's important things, but then there's one thing that's the most important thing? And so what Paul is saying here, as I passed on the most important thing. So what is the most important thing? And here's what he said. I passed on to you what was most important and what had been passed on to me. And here it is. This is what's most important. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day. I am passing on to you what is the most important of all. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. And he was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom, at the time of this writing, he says, are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James. His own brother James did not believe in him until he saw Jesus resurrected from the dead. And then he became the pastor, the leader of the church in Jerusalem. But up until that moment, he was a cynic, even of his own brother. So he was seen by James. And then later by all the apostles. Last of all, Paul says, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. This is Paul, the hater of Christ. This is Paul, the destroyer of the church. This is Paul who had committed his entire life to lock up every Christian he could find. And Paul says, I also saw him. And then he says, but I'm the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. What happened? What happened? Jesus had just died on the cross, 3 days later, was raised from the dead with hundreds and hundreds of eyewitnesses. And John says in his gospel, chapter 19, verse 35, and you have to know this about John. John was like a rapper. He always spoke of himself in the third person. He says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so listen to what John says. He's speaking in the third person about himself, but here's what John says. The eyewitness to these things has presented an accurate report. He saw it himself and is telling you the truth so that you also can believe. And then, years later, he writes his epistle, and here's what he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father, and it's with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. And then Luke the medical doctor, Luke the historian, the author of the gospel and the book of Acts, He introduces the book of Acts, which he is writing for a dear friend, the gospel. I beg your pardon, in the Luke. He introduces the gospel of Luke like this. Here's his first four verses. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. What happened? Well, according to the accurate accounts of eyewitnesses and careful investigation, we see that Jesus most certainly rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, what happened? What happened? I could probably think of scores and scores of answers to that question, but I just want to share three major thoughts of what happened when Jesus died on the cross and 3 days later he rose from the dead. I would call these the three major events of happening, and then many, many beautiful spider webs of 100 other things out of this. But the first thing that happened when Jesus rose from the dead is that sin is forgiven. Sin is forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. For by the blood of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. Free and forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. Oh, how great is the grace of God. The message reads it like this. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by all of our misdeeds. Every one of us have our own chock full of them. Free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by all of our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, but abundantly free. Free and forgiven. Free and forgiven. Penalties and punishments no more are mine. Free and forgiven. And the Apostle Peter says these glorious words in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. A living hope of freedom and forgiveness. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope of freedom and forgiveness. What happened? What happened? Sin is forgiven. Second thing that happened is the character of God is revealed. No one could reveal the character of God like his own son. And what happened on that day? Here's what we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time, and he died for us sinners. Verse 8 says, and here we see it. Here we see the character of God. Verse 8 says, God showed, God demonstrated. You just can't doubt what's been demonstrated. God showed his great love for us, by sending Christ to die for us while we were still mucking up, while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son, this beautiful risen life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. A relationship where we've been absolved and acquitted. We can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has made us friends of God. What happened? What happened? Sin is forgiven. The character of God is revealed. And thirdly, and militantly, Satan and death are defeated. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, since the children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by his death. Watch this. By embracing death, taking it into himself, he destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life, scared to death of death. If you want to get up and run around the room while I'm preaching this morning, you feel absolutely free. Absolutely free. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness, from the domain of despair, from the domain of despondency. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. The king of darkness is now dethroned on Resurrection Sunday morning. The king of darkness is now dethroned and dealt a fatal blow, the very blow that God said would happen in the book of Genesis, that seed of the woman would come and knock his head off. That Easter Sunday morning was not only the dawn of a new day, it was the birth of a new era. Yes. What happened? What happened? An atonement for sin, a revelation of God, and a conquest of evil. That's what happened. So what's happening? Here we are today. What's happening? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. How many have been baptized? You were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to new life. With him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So what's happening? What's happening? We are living a new life and have been given a new nature. We have died, been buried in baptism, and risen to new life. That's what's happening. Our sinful nature has been cut away by Christ. Does that mean I don't sin? No, I still, let me just say, sin doesn't last very long. Because as soon as I confess it and fall on my face and ask God to forgive me, it's gone. But I just want to say this, that propensity and that proclivity that's been a part of my nature all my life to do evil and to do wrong and to be selfish, I'm telling you, I hate that. Now that which I used to embrace as my own, I disdain and don't want a part of it in my life. I know there's a new nature in me because I want to do what pleases God with all of my heart. And that's what's in you too. We're not perfect yet. I'll explain in a minute how salvation is something that happened, it's something that is happening, and it's something that's going to happen. Yeah. But there has been a cutting away by Christ himself, a cutting away of that old me that just wants to live for me. All I want to do now is live for him. What happened? What happened? He has forgiven all our sins. What's happening now? What's happening now? We are living free of all the charges that have ever been cited and indicted and arraigned against us. All of the accusations and allegations and imputations that point to my guilt has been nailed to the cross. It's like every ticket I've ever gotten. I mean, Carol. What's happening? What's happening right now? The devil has been disarmed and defeated. That's not a pretty picture. Disarmed and defeated. I mean, if you're the devil, that's not a pretty picture. Disarmed and defeated because of the victory of Jesus over him. What's happening? What's happening? We have been transferred into the kingdom of God, out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of confusion. We've been transformed, and now God is expanding his kingdom on earth through us. That is what's happening. That's what's happening in this house today. That's what's happening all over the church, all over the world today that's celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? What's happening? What's going to happen? I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, come on, that's what happened, lives in you. That's what's happening. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. That is what's going to happen. By the same Spirit living within you. That's what's going to happen. Yep. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Paul said it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. Whew. Raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed, for our dying bodies, our dragging and sagging and weary and worn out bodies, our bodies that are so subject to the second law of thermodynamics, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. What's going to happen? Paul says in Philippians 3, in verse 20, for we are eagerly waiting for him to return as Savior. He will take our weak, mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. That's coming. That's coming. It's going to happen. This is going to happen. Just like that happened, just like this is happening, that's going to happen. John said this in his epistle. He said, beloved, now, this is what's happening, now we are the sons of God. That's right now. That's what's happening right now. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, what's going to happen. He says this, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You see, what the Lord has done, dying on the cross and rising from the dead, we have salvation. We're born again. We're born of the Spirit.
We're instantly made right with God. That's our salvation. And then we move into this area after salvation, where we are now being saved, because this is called sanctification. This is where we're growing and learning. This is where we're saying no. This is where we're decreeing, no, that's not my nature anymore. This is my nature. Help me to love. Help me to serve. Teach me how to be kind. Show me goodness and gentleness, Lord. This is so I was saved. I'm being saved. But there is still a salvation to come, and it's called resurrection. And it's not just my soul. It's not just my spirit. It's not just my soul. It's my body, baby. It's my body. It's your body. It's your body. Spirit, soul, and body. He is a complete, absolute Savior. In the past, I was born again. In the present, I'm being changed. And in the future, I will be I was saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. So I want to ask you, I want to show you, I want to teach you, what happens when we die? You know what? Going to happen. I'm not trying to be morbid today. Actually, I'm kind of excited to talk about what I'm talking about today. What happens when we die? Sooner or later, I will put a big bet on it. It's going to happen. 10 out of 10 people die. That's what history says. Unless we're alive when the Lord returns, which could be this afternoon. Who knows? But what happens when we die? So here's Jesus on the cross on that Good Friday. And there's two thieves, one on his right hand, one on his left. And one of those thieves looks to Jesus. And like we just saw the Roman soldier, we just saw Ty, because we know that there was a Roman soldier there that day who said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And that thief looked over at Jesus and he said, would you remember me when you enter your kingdom? And that was minutes away. That was just minutes away. And that thief on the cross teaches us so much that getting to heaven is not about our good works, because he never did a good work in his life. No. But what did Jesus say to him? Jesus says to this guy in the 23rd chapter of Luke, in the 43rd verse, Jesus looks over. Jesus can barely speak. He uttered seven, statements from the cross. And he said to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say that to the other thief. He said that to this thief who believed. Jesus said, today, in a few minutes, Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. The Apostle Paul also echoes this in his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:8. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. To be absent from the body, how many know that's called dying? He said, to be absent from the body is not to be dead. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you belong to Christ, I want to show you what's going to happen to you after you die. And I don't know about you. I do know about you, but I'm kind of trying not to make it about you. But let me just say, I know this about me. I'm one heartbeat away. I'm one heartbeat away. So are you. So are you. Here's what happens when you die, believer. Here's what happens. You immediately go. Not your body. We'll take care of it. You'll leave it here. We'll take care of your body. You go. You will immediately go in a disembodied state to be with Jesus. You will go to paradise. You will be in heaven. You will be there. You will close your eyes here, and however the spirit realm works, you will, so to speak, open your eyes there. It'll be just like that. Not your body, but your born again spirit instantly. Instantly, you'll breathe in, and as you're breathing out, you're there with him in paradise, in heaven. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. What is born of the spirit will instantly be there. But here's what you need to know. You will not be there forever. No, you will not be there in your disembodied state in paradise forever. You will be there with him until he returns. and sets up the new heaven and the new earth that the Bible teaches us. Heaven, God's going to move everything out of heaven to the new heaven and new earth here. It's not us going to heaven forever. It's God coming to earth to dwell with us forever in the new heaven and in the new earth. I'll show you. Revelation 21. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Come on now. I've liked this one a lot. I really get out and about, and I like this one. But I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Watch. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a beautiful bride dressed for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And at that point, you will have a brand new resurrected body. And it will be splendid and superb and superior to anything you have now, I can guarantee you. A body like Jesus, a resurrected body, a body that will never perish, a body that will never wane or weaken or waste away. And you will rule and reign with him forever and ever in your imperishable body. I'm going to ask the team to come. God is just getting started. You know, we live on this planet just a few decades. Really, how many? There's four times in the Bible that it says 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord, right? So what is my lifetime to him? What is my generation to him? I think I was just reading something the other day. It was some government site or something. I think the average man in Australia lives to like something like 77, average. This is average woman about 83, because women don't usually ride motorcycles. But you know, if you do the math, and you say if 1,000 years is like a day to God, and you prorate the math, you know what that means? That means a 70-year-old man gets 57 minutes. What is our life? David, I read it this morning in the Psalms. David said, my life is like the span of my hand. He said, my life is like a shadow. It's like a vapor. It's just like it's here and it's gone. Don't get so wrapped up in this few moments here of mortality, because God's just getting started. God's going to make it new. It's almost like he's going to start Eden all over again with a new heaven and a new earth. And you are going to be there with him forever in a body that you're going to probably should be no mirrors, because all you're going to want to do is stand in front of the mirror and so say, OMG, is this me? And it's a body like his body. Think about Jesus' resurrected body. You know what? It went up, it went down, it was here, it was there, and yet it was just his flesh. I mean, there were scars in it. He was eating and drinking, and it was just amazing, amazing. A body that completes our salvation. The kingdom has come, the kingdom is come, and the kingdom is coming. And God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So my message this Easter Sunday is focused on three questions. What happened? What's happening? What's going to happen? And as I finish my message this morning, I want to ask you, where are you Where are you in these thoughts today, from what happened to what's happening and what's going to happen? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Jesus is alive. I know those eyewitnesses said it, but I'm telling you, he is more real to me than the person I love the most in my whole life. Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. And he has saved me. He saved me when I was 10 years old. I believed in him, and I was born again instantly. But now for these last 61 years since then, he's saving me. His word's teaching me. He's helping me. He's showing me. He's forgiven me. He's walking with me. I'm walking with him. I'm learning. I stumble. I fall. I get up. I hold his hand. Come on, Abba. I'm with you, Abba. Help me, Abba. And so I'm being saved. But I tell you what, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be saved. And I just could not appeal to anyone in this room more, or anyone watching online more, than to say, come to Jesus today. Put your faith in Jesus today. The plan of God is not 60, 70, 80 years in this moment of mortality while you ignore God and do your own thing and are seduced by all of the things in this world. It's all about the plan of God, and it's all about God's plan for people. And his plan for people is that nobody perish, but that everybody be saved. Thank you, team.